Hello and welcome to Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the show where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I am Chris, and I am here again with Patrick.
Hello.
And Steven.
Hey.
And we are here to review The Bridge Curse. I don't know what else to say about
this is that one. This is the definition of a horror movie to talk about.
We were saying before we started recording today, like, we talk so often about certain movies. Maybe I would say 30 to 50% of the time before we start recording, we always say, I don't know how we're going to talk about this for like more than a half hour. And most of the time I'm like, no, we'll be fine. We'll milk it. But this one, I have no idea how we're going to talk about it for more than a half hour.
Where there's a will, there's a way. our audience would be very sad if we just punted 1 week and we were like, you know what? We don't want to talk about this movie.
Just make the horror catch up last an hour and a half, yeah, and call it good.
Yeah.
Might be the week for that.
This might be the week it happens. But yeah, we're actually recording in person, aren't we?
Yeah. Experiencing a greater horror than any we've ever experienced on Netflix before, looking each other in the eye for the first time since COVID. I don't think we've recorded in person since COVID, right?
It feels like I haven't seen you guys in person since before COVID.
It does.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It's hard to see without the Zoom filters.
It's hard to see. It's actually scaring me. I don't like that.
I don't know which one of you to look at either.
It feels hyper intense. It feels like when they make Bo smoke that shit in Bo is Afraid.
Oh, when he smokes three things. Yeah. I should have smoked at least one thing before this.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our thrilling discussion of The Bridge Curse, a Taiwanese horror film that's almost a found footage film, but not enough to where I can really preface it with that. It's a whole thing. We'll get into it. We're going to do a little horror catch-up. We do this every episode where we talk about what else we've been watching, viewing, consuming, reading in the horror space. I'll go first, actually, because I've been doing some stuff. I have been watching The Twilight Saga.
Yes!
Yes. Did you watch past the first one?
Well, I've watched a few of them out of order over time. I think the only one I haven't actually seen is New Moon, maybe.
Okay.
But I haven't watched them as, like, a saga. So how's the experience?
I've been watching them. I'm through Breaking Dawn Part 1. All I have left is Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Oh.
Yes, there's a woman involved in me watching these. And I will... Jesus. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane. If I told, like, the we all watched the first movie, we're like, oh, this is kind of hokey, whatever. I cannot tell you what happens in these movies or you'll think I'm lying to you.
Blow my mind. Tell me. I've only seen the first one.
Well, all right, so, like, spoiler alert for Breaking Dawn, the whole final book / final two movies of the saga are about Bella's pregnancy, where she gets pregnant with a demon vampire baby from Edward. Okay. There's this whole lead up to this where, like, it's alleged that Edward will kill Bella if they fuck because he's a vampire and she's a mortal and she's too fragile.
Sounds a little like Lost Souls, Poppy Z. Braid.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
And... long story short, she has this baby, and so, you know, there's Team Edward, Team Jacob. Jacob's like I like Jacob, but he's clearly an incel, okay? And he's definitely the more, like, whiny and creepier one, whereas Edward's sort of
creepier, really.
Well, Edward's, like, passively creepy. He's, like, so mature, but he's also, like, not recognizable as human in any way, which makes him creepy. Jacob is, like, just immature and creepy, like, in an incel way.
And that's sure. Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, it's Taylor Lautner. Yeah. Well, anyway, they kind of come together to help Bella through this pregnancy, and Bella's like, I've decided if the baby's a boy, I'm going to name him EJ. Edward Jacob.
Oh.
It gets worse. Then she's like, and if it's a girl, she's like making a portmanteau of like two people's mother's names.
Yeah,
she's like,
Renesmee.
Yeah, she's like, if it's a girl, I'm going to name it Renesmee.
Which is what it ends up being.
Oh my God.
Edward chews the baby out of her, like does a C-section with his teeth.
With his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wild film. That's also the one, Breaking Dawn Part 1 is the one that includes the like werewolf meeting in the junkyard, I think, too, where they're all like telepathically like arguing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really intense argument, but none of the CG wolves' mouths are moving, so it's
telepathic.
Honestly, one of the most strange things I've seen.
The whole movie's ever. Incredibly sad. And then Jacob ends up imprinting on the baby and falling in love with it as a dog, because he's a dog. Anyway, I could go on all day, but Stephanie Meyer should 100% be in an asylum. I'm glad that she made this franchise and that so many people love it, because the alternatives to what she could have done with this amount of insanity, I don't want to think about.
Well, get excited for Breaking Dawn Part 2, because solely for Michael Sheen's performance. Well, you've seen Michael Sheen already, right? He's in Eclipse or something, I think. He's the vampire, like, evil vampire leader dude.
Not Michael Sheen, the president.
Oh, sorry. No, Michael, I always mix them up. What's the British guy? The guy was in fucking Frost Nixon.
Oh, my God. This always drives me crazy, too.
Michael, what is his name? I think he's a legend. He's great.
His last name is Sheen.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, but it's not Martin. It's like Michael.
Yeah, it is Michael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Martin Sheen. Oh, yeah. Okay, I had it right, actually.
Oh, you said
Michael Sheen? Yeah.
I was thinking of Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
Oh, so confusing. Well, yeah, the vampire president's in there, too.
But yeah, he does some especially deranged shit in the second one. But anyways, thank you, because this is making me want to finally do the thing I've said I was going to do since we reviewed Twilight fucking 2-3 years ago, and do what you're doing and watch them in order.
It's a trip. I'm really enjoying it.
Is the saga, has it been completed? I'm totally ignorant of this. Oh, I don't even know how long
these movies came out. And God bless them for not, like, really, I mean, they've milked it a little, but they haven't done, like J.K. Rowling was like, well, here's another story, and now here's Fantastic Beast stories, and just trying to, like...
She fucking rewrote it from Edward's point of view.
She rewrote it from Edward's point of view, and then she rewrote one that's gender-swapped.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, where she did like a find and replace on Edward's name and changed it to like
I would say that's even Emily worse than the Rowling thing.
Yeah,
because like you're just milking the same fucking story over and over again. Like at least Rowling wrote new characters and a new story.
Hey, I don't know, but if they make a movie about it, maybe I'll watch it. How about you, Patrick?
A movie about Stephanie Meyer?
No, I'll see her on Discovery ID after they give her a pair of scissors.
I mean, a Stephanie Meyer biopic would also be kind of fascinating.
And
honestly,
the thing is, like, the whole series has this like vague conservative religious bent to it, where like
it's like Mormon, isn't it? Or like based on Mormonism.
But she's like, because Edward and Bella won't have sex until they're married, and then like the whole Breaking Dawn Part One is like, should we abort this baby to save the life of the mother? And everyone's like, fuck no, you don't. It's a beautiful baby. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. Amy Coney Barrett loves this movie. Patrick, what have you been watching, reading, consuming?
Still been making my way through Control, which I've talked a lot about. My new thing that I'm doing is finally reading The Stand, Stephen King's The Stand, which I've been wanting to dig into for a long time.
You're getting ready for bird flu.
The bird flu, yeah. I gave a friend of the show and my sister, Brenna, shout out a copy of The Stand for Christmas, mostly because I wanted an accountability buddy to finally read all 1,100 pages or 48 hours of audiobook of it, which is the way I've been doing it. I'm about a quarter of the way through and really enjoying the huge cast of characters and epic scope. Mm-hmm. Have you read it, Steven, I assume?
So I did a dumb thing. Early in the pandemic, when everybody was talking about The Stand again, you know, it was appropriate to do so.
Yeah.
I have an original paperback copy from when it first came out, and it's not the full uncut version that, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, it's still like almost 900 pages. I thought surely there can't be anything too essential missing from this, but it actually does sound like I need to just start it over again and read the version that came out later in like the late 80s, early 90s that is considered the official version now.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading. And it's interesting because, I don't know, it's just reading through the early stages of it, at least when the plague is just sweeping across America, it's all kind of like, yeah, uh-huh, that's how it happened, uh-huh, yep, that's accurate. I just feel like it probably would be a lot more horrifying had I not lived through all this 4 years ago. I mean, of course, with less alarming symptoms and less population destruction, but yeah, it's interesting how at least the early going is not necessarily like super scary, but I know it gets much different as things go along, and I'm excited for that. Oh, I also finally caught up to Late Night with the Devil, which I had a blast with. Just that was a perfect banger for me. It just felt like a horror movie made for me by people who love like everything about horror, from like the scary shit to the old like genre kind of like practical effects to you know, certainly some humor. There's some funny shit in there, and David Dastmalchian, however you pronounce his name, is phenomenal, and I'm thrilled that he finally got a sick leading role.
I'm gonna watch that soon, I promise.
Steven, what have you been digging into lately?
I have a Shudder pick as well. I don't know if you guys have heard about this movie Infested that came out on Friday.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn fun and skin crawling. You know, this is a movie about people. It's basically Evil Dead Rise, but with spiders. It's a French film. It's something I related to, and this is like set in an apartment high rise building, but it's very tightly connected group of folks that are all up in each other's business, which sounds very much like my apartment complex that I live in. So there's a lot of fun character stuff going on in this, but yeah, our hero collects exotic pets, and he gets this spider on the black market that turns out to be pregnant, and it replicates and multiplies very quickly, and the spiders get bigger with each new breed and iteration, and everyone's trapped and trying to find a way to get out. The spiders don't always look great, but it's so well directed in acting, the sound design is so good that it didn't matter. Like, I had the hair standing up in the back of my neck for much of this movie. There's some humor in it too, and this director, Sebastian Vanacek, has already been tapped to do an Evil Dead spinoff movie, and I can see why.
Yeah, is he doing like a sequel to Rise, or is it totally unrelated?
I think it's unrelated. Okay. But it's set in that universe.
Okay.
Kind of the way that Evil Dead Rise is, sort of, except for the Necronomicon and the Deadites, it's unrelated to the Bruce Campbell stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of spiders.
I am too.
I mean, it's like, I don't really have any phobias, but like, spiders is the thing where I'm like, I want to see that movie, but also it's going to be, I'm afraid to watch it. Like I was afraid to watch Skinamarink. There used to be like, I used to have a demo of Tomb Raider 2 on my computer when I was like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I could have been 13. I don't know. And I remember there was a little room that was full of spiders, and I was like, sweaty palms every time I came up to this room. I never finished the demo. I couldn't get through that room. Oh, I was too afraid. I'd hear their little like noises, which spiders, I always think of them as making noises.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
No. Which even makes it scarier.
Yeah. Well, if they're big enough to make noise, you're in trouble. I played this game. It's like an old school dungeon crawler called Grimrock. RPG. It's like, I'm not good with describing games, but it's kind of low tech ish. And you're sort of like first person with your crew, going sort of like block by block through these dark dungeons. And every time you turn a corner and there's a spider that's as big as you are hissing, throwing up its legs, it scared the shit out of me. My ex thought it was hilarious that I could not handle this game after dark. Even though it's cartoony looking, it got to me. So yeah, if you're afraid of spiders, you know, tread lightly with this movie, but I think it's a lot of fun.
It sounds a little goofy from what I've heard. I'm not super afraid of spiders, and I'm also just like looking forward to the idea of increasingly larger spiders overrunning an apartment complex.
To me, it was only goofy when it becomes a little bit too emotionally overwrought, toward the end, as movies tend to be these days in the wake of elevated horror, quote unquote. But overall, I thought it was a blast, and it's like a lean, I don't even think it's a full 90 minutes. It's a good time. I also saw Alex Garland's Civil War a couple weeks ago, and it's a fascinating film. Like, I cannot in good conscience recommend it to anyone, because it's an intense, very, very, very intense experience that also seems like kind of a pointless exercise because it's completely apolitical. But it's extremely well directed. It's beautiful to look at. The performances are great. I like that it's a very pro-journalism movie. It reminded me of this movie, I think it was from the late 60s, early 70s, called Medium Cool, with Robert Forster as he's sort of documenting riots in Chicago, if I remember correctly. It has a lot of that energy going on, but also it's a movie where like things will be very tense and quiet and somebody will just get shot, and it's the loudest fucking gunshot you've heard in your life. So in the end, it does get a little silly, and again, I don't really know what it has to say, but as far as a cinematic experience and one that is intense, it might as well be a horror film. Many scenes that play like jump scares in a horror film.
I mean, frankly, just being pro-journalism is pretty political at this point in time, unfortunately.
It's sad to say, but true. And, you know, we'll get into that with our feature today.
Oh, God. No, I'm very excited to see Civil War still. I haven't gotten to it yet.
If you could see it in the theater while it's still there, do it. I mean, it is absolutely stunning, and the sound design is incredible. And the soundtrack has some of the weirdest needle drops I've ever heard in a movie. But
Guns N' Roses, I hope.
No.
They don't
but if
Guns
you want to hear
Civil War during the final battle,
if you want to hear two Suicide songs in Dolby Atmos, this is your movie. It's fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
But that's all I've got, guys.
Well, before we move on to the main event, a program note, we, in an effort to enjoy summer vibes and maintain our energy to do this show, We're cutting you down. What's the polite way to say this?
we're gonna fit a little summer. Oh, let's see, a bi-weekly summer vacation into our schedule. I think that's the nice way to say it. We're gonna give you one less episode per month for the summer. We're just gonna come to you monthly for
and
the
let's
summer.
Be honest, you're gonna be too busy out there gallivanting in the sun to listen to a podcast anyway.
We hope.
We'll get one rainy day a month, we're hoping, here in the Midwest at least, and you can listen to our episode then, and otherwise enjoy yourself.
We're only going to podcast when it rains.
Go outside. Go play outside. Stop listening to podcasts and watching horror movies. What the hell is wrong with you?
So summertime sadness for some of our fans, I'm sure. But, you know, if you miss us, have you listened to all 169 episodes?
And if so, have you listened to them twice? I mean, honestly, for some of the sickos who listen to this, probably they've listened to them three times. Probably. So, you know, whatever. Go back and listen to the back catalog all over again. Whatever listen through it is for you.
Yeah, knock yourself out, but this is what you're getting for now.
Yeah. So the intention isn't for that to be permanent or anything, but just for the foreseeable future here, and at least through the summer. And we're still going to be available on Discord and all that, though. So hey, we usually give this plug later in the show, but feel free to check us out on social media at Amoncast, Ehmoncast. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and follow us on Discord. We have a little conversational community there, so we always have time for your takes and messages on the Discord, even if we're not recording an episode. So
we're always there for your emotional support needs. It's like your therapist. Like, you know, you've got your standing appointment, but if you really need us, we're there.
Don't take that too
within
literally.
Reason. Within reason. Just like your therapist, we're probably not going to pick up the phone right away.
We're going to end up like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense, having people showing up in our house in crisis, shooting us. It'll be Stephanie Meyer
with a pair of plastic scissors.
Anyway, onto the feature of today's program, The Bridge Curse. I picked this one, and.
And why did you?
That's on me. That's on me.
I picked it. But you're not the first to do it.
Yeah. So
Not accusatory, just what was the rationale?
The rationale was, it reminded me, just based on like the thumbnail, poster, synopsis, it reminded me a lot of a movie I really like, The Empty Man, which starts one of the plot devices early on in that. Have you seen The Empty Man?
Still haven't, okay. No.
One of the early plot devices in that are like college students who are going out to a bridge where they hear if you ring a bell, a ghost appears or something like that, and they die mysteriously. I think of suicide. And so I was like, it brought back those fuzzy memories. And then I liked the found footage element looked spooky to me. Mm. And I don't know, it's a Taiwanese film, and we watched Incantation, you know, and that was a really good film that was found footage from China. And so I was like, oh, maybe this will be a hit. Mm-hmm. I wanted something like Incantation.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite what we got, but this is, and it's hard to explain even what this is about. It's about
whatever you're about to say. I'm just going to give you props in advance, because any summary you can muster is better than anything I'll have.
And I'm just going to co-sign all of it without question.
Explain the movie to us, please, yeah, Chris. Stephen and I need to know. What do we watch?
So there's a university in Taiwan where there's an urban legend, basically, that every 4 years, if you go to this bridge, which is hilariously translated as Female Ghost Bridge.
Yeah.
If you go to Female Ghost Bridge at midnight on a leap year, on February 28th or whatever it is, I don't know exactly, because there's only been a few of them in my lifetime.
Hey, and this was a leap year. A very timely film for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you go to the bridge, and if at midnight, an extra step will appear on the stairs on the bridge, and they say, don't look behind you. It's like a Bloody Mary thing, because the ghost is there, whatever.
The funny part is it's not even on the bridge. It's like the stairs leading away from the bridge, so it's not even like really a bridge curse. It's a stair curse, if anything.
Yeah, and the stairs are pretty removed from the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge itself is a little like nebulous, because on one side there's clearly water, but the other side seems to be mostly trees. So
yeah.
And they refer to the water as a lake, but it looks more like a creek. There's a lot going on in this picture.
Well, yeah, so we see kind of in the prologue that like this happened to these kids tried the curse, freaky stuff happens, and then we pick it up with a TV news reporter who is doing an expose on these kids who died fucking around with the bridge curse. And so some of what
years later.
So what we see is a mix of found footage from like the cell phones of the kids who participated in the bridge curse, video footage from the reporter who's going out to investigate the curse, but then also non-found footage, which I don't even know, traditional cinematography, I guess you would call it, of to fill in the gaps.
You know, the old school shit.
Yeah.
And so we see sort of in modern day, the reporter investigating, and then we also see like flashbacks to this group of kids assembling and going out to do the curse, and then afterwards how they all died. Because we know that all five of the kids or whatever were found dead. They said dead of what they thought was suicide, except they all were drowned in different places around campus. So we kind of know, well, all these kids are fucked from the beginning, and it's just a matter of seeing how that plays out.
And in the first 12 minutes, we see how it plays out two different times. Like, this opens with found footage cell phone video of this kid participating in the bridge curse.
Yes.
That's the very first thing you see. Well, after the weird fucking titles credit sequence. And then within, I literally looked at the time because I was like, I just saw this. You see the cell phone footage, then you see some reporter stuff years later of her like following up on these happenings. And then you flash back to see the more traditional cinematography of the exact same scene of this kid participating in the bridge curse. And I was expecting that to come back in some fashion, because obviously you're being dropped into a timeline at that point. But I didn't expect to see it staged twice in that short of a span of time. That was a little shocking.
Well, and there's another wrinkle to all of this that we can't get into until the spoiler room that makes it 18 times more confusing.
Yes,
to me.
Yes, me too.
I had to read some ending explained articles. I'll just say that.
Me too. And there aren't many out there that are that cogent.
It took me like a half hour to find anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suffice to say for now that this movie has some secrets up its sleeve. And in order to execute on those secrets, it does something very strange, which is it sort of deliberately keeps the characters undefined.
Yes.
And so that's why it's like, we can probably talk about a couple of the characters based on, like, there's the one girl who's like the live streamer, and a couple of them have, like, you know, maybe one other one has a distinct personality trait. But for the most part, we're talking about characters who seem very interchangeable.
Oh yeah.
And to the extent where I was like, I was trying, doing my best, and I'm like, I was starting to feel like I was just racist or something.
I was just gonna say, I was like, am I racist?
I'm like, all these characters look the same, talk the same, I don't know who's who. Am I just not doing a good enough job, like, seeing
you
them?
Yeah, you have like the live streamer girl who seems like kind of cool and popular. You have the like stereotypical nerdy kid with glasses who's the first to get fucked up, or the first that we see get fucked up in the movie by the bridge curse, stair curse, whatever. And other than that, it's just kind of like an amorphous mass of characters.
People walking around in the dark.
I thought of you so much watching this, Chris, because there's so much walking around in the dark in this movie. And it does, maybe the one thing I'll give this some props for is that it does rise to fairly regular, like, crescendos of action or actual, like, terror's too strong of a word, but like something happening. It's not just people walking around in the dark, but it's still so repetitive in that sense. Walking around in the dark, boo, something. Walk around in the dark, boo, something. It's just like, ugh.
And the scares are not going to change your life. We're talking about, like, I can't tell to what extent it's CG and to what extent they actually have like an actor, but it's yeah, like, you know, your traditional like female ghost, like, oh, wearing like a white nightgown, long stringy hair, gray flesh, bumpy fingers, and
it's fucking Sadako.
Yeah, it's just lots of water and wet hair.
Water, wet hair.
No, what's her name? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Samara.
Oh, Samara. Yeah. Who was Sadako in, like, was that in Ringu?
The Grudge, I think.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I can't remember which is.
It's a little Grudge. I'll Grudge Ghoul. Keep Grudge talking. Ghoul, Ring Girl, whatever. Yeah, and it's just a lot of these jump scares that are like, like maybe CGI, or if not, like a rubber hand just like came into the frame suddenly, and that's your spooky.
Sadako is that character's name in the Ring novels and Ringu, but it's Samara in the Ring, the American movie.
I do the New York Times Sadako.
Wow. Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the scares are, I mean, some of the things that this movie tries to employ to scare us, I thought were pretty funny. There's some folding chair foo in that initial scene where I was like, I didn't know what I was looking at.
Same. I was so baffled by that. The cell phone footage in the first scene, like, I looked at that and I was like, what is that? What am I looking at? What is this thing bopping up against this railing? And it does turn out to be the folding chair when you see it shot properly, but I had no idea what I was looking at.
It's moving like a piece of furniture from inside the house in Evil Dead 2. It's like fully anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
There's some bucket foo in this as well that we can get to. That was pretty funny. But yeah, the scares are now. The first time we see the demon.
Yes.
Well, we don't even really see it. We just get a little gentle tap tap on a character's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and never mind.
I LOL'd for days.
I was thinking of, again, in the opening found footage where it freeze frames on something that we're supposed to find horrifying.
Oh,
and I was searching that frame like, what am I looking at? I don't know. I mean, like, did I just miss it? Or did you guys see what we were supposed
to see? No. Okay. I didn't see all that right either.
This okay, movie thank God.
This movie is hard to see, or it was hard for me to see. I did watch it on my laptop, but I had the brightness up all the way, and I was like, do I have some weird color? Did I leave my like blue light filter on or something? I cannot tell. I feel like I'm going blind. Chris, it reminded me of when we watched the new Hellraiser movie in your basement. and
it's so bad. I gotta fix my TV. The same thing happened when I was watching Dune. There's a long scene where there's like no contrast at night in Dune, and my TV did that same thing. I'm like, is it really supposed? This movie won best cinematography. Is it supposed to be this dark? Anyway.
Is it like a problem with your TV?
It's by design, but it's like bad programming where the TV thinks that if there's a low contrast dark scene on screen for a long period of time, it thinks it's a still image and it'll auto dim to save the pixels or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, when we watched Hellraiser down here, I mean, granted, I was a little bit stoned, but there was a point where I turned to Chris and I was like, this can't be what this movie is supposed to look like. I can't see anything that's going on.
Wow. It's not a problem if you're watching a fucking like movie that was made prior to 5 years ago, but these days so many movies are just with that like low contrast, we shot it in the dark digitally and that look. So
yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's another knock against this movie.
One among many.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about kind of the, I guess interchangeability of these characters. But I mean, it's like even more so than, you know, I always think of slashers when I think of sort of disposable characters, you know, like a Friday the 13th, where it's just like, you're an archetype. But it goes beyond that. Like, you have a couple of archetypes, and then just again, kind of like a, you don't really know who anyone else is. And then also the like journalist character is pretty fucking nondescript too, you know? Like, there's just not much of anything to hang your hat on.
She's going through the motions. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about her other than she's TV journalist.
Didn't she have like, I had the impression early on that she had some kind of fall from grace and that this kind of reporting was beneath her.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of a line of dialogue to confirm that to save my life.
I think he
and they never do anything with it either. Like, if that is the case, it never is used as character development. So yeah. I guess it doesn't matter if it was a hallucination on my part or not.
Yeah, and I mean the spooky scenes, the characters. It's not just a matter of they don't have character. It's a matter of they don't act like humans much. Like, and the scene where the guy's in the bathroom, just like.
Taken the
extended.
Oh, that was a hell of a dump. Like he's straining at that bowel movement, and the sound effects were bizarre.
It was troubling. It was troubling. Like that. It was just like the wettest beer shit ever.
It sounded like great mass to it as well.
Yeah,
like a large, like hard object dropping into the toilet. And to the point where, at first, I thought this was a product of the curse. I thought he was like blasting, you know, I don't know, bricks out of his ass or something. But it was just he's just taking a normal.
You did not think that.
No, I did. I actually did. I was like, okay, so this is another weird manifestation of the curse. It's making this guy shit weird or something.
The curse runs,
but he's apparently taking a totally normal dump, and then like shit goes down from there.
I don't know what happened in this movie, but I'll give you a forensic analysis about that shit sounded like.
It was just so weird. It was so weirdly staged and sound designed.
Patrick is expert witness on this topic.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it was one of the only notes that I wrote was that shit moment. And I noticed as well that like his body didn't seem like the amount of exertion he was putting into the shit did not seem to match the sheer gravity of what was falling into that toilet.
It was bizarre.
And he's like, isn't he like gambling on his phone or something at the same time?
All I could hear was the shit. I didn't see what he was doing on his phone.
I was very focused on the output.
But let me break down the scene because it starts off relatable, right? Like, you know, we all have our issues in the bathroom, and then someone comes in the room and is like lingering around in the stall, and he gets pissed off. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I relate to this. Patrick knows about my neuroses about this, but like if I'm at obviously if you're at an airport or a really public place, but if you're in like an office or something, and I'm in the stall, I don't want one of my coworkers to come in and use the stall next to me. do the polite thing. Wash your hands, pretend you're peeing, walk out, come back in 5 minutes, right? I don't need to know my coworkers that well.
Here's what I do, because, I mean, I've worked in the same building for so long that I know all the ins and outs, and I...
Especially the outs.
Especially the outs. there are a couple of people that are chronically on the toilet, and one of them used to be my boss, and it's very loud and wet and uncomfortable always, so I try to make sure. So I have figured out how to open the bathroom door so quietly and just get a peek to where you know, someone's feet would be under the two stalls, but they wouldn't even know someone was trying to use the bathroom. Freaking, and then I just back away.
Splinter Cell over here.
Right? It's very, some stealth shit.
Wow.
You got the fiber optic cable under the door to see who's in there. anyway, I don't need that in my life. So I understand why this guy's mad that like someone else is trying to use the stall when he's in there and is just like lingering and stuff. Well, it's a ghost, whatever.
Well, and doesn't he say too, he tries to get them to go away by saying that he's like, no, they all stink, like referring to the other.
Yeah.
I thought he was just saying that as a matter of course.
I thought he was trying to get the guy take a hint and get out of there, but maybe not.
Well, so whatever.
Yeah, he was like, quit fucking around and just pick a stall, was what I took from that.
Okay, well, that's relatable enough. But then, like, you know, he's leaving, he gets mildly spooked and stuff on his way out of the bathroom, and there's a ghost on the premises, and the ghost turns all the water faucets on.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no. And he goes over and like starts trying to turn all the water faucets off. And I'm like, dude, if you're being attacked by a ghost right now, like, this isn't your house. Like, just let the water run. Like, there's no reason why he would, like, stop and give a shit about that, other than it was just, like,
true,
something for him to do to keep the scene going before he gets got by the ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they could have given him some personality and made him, like, an environmental science major, and he didn't like the waste of all the water.
Mm.
Something, anything. Something other than being the guy that takes the big wet shit.
Something I did like, and maybe if I ever, I don't know, it's almost worth stealing and putting in a movie. I like how it's set at a university, and there's the one room where it's like the cosmetology school where they have all the mannequin heads.
Yes, I was going to single that scene out too. That was a highlight for me.
Yeah, when it gets spooky in there, it's awesome. But then it was just a cool environment, and I was like, it would be cool to have a horror movie at like a community college where there's less like just all these like vocational labs, and then there's like a ghost.
A horror movie at the Douglas J. Aveda Institute.
Yes.
Here's a question. Maybe I missed a crucial detail. Where is everybody else at this college?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I mean, there's fucking like 8 actors in this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Which makes what we'll talk about in the spoiler room like even more baffling and confusing from a filmmaking perspective.
I still literally don't understand it. I'm looking forward to someone hopefully shedding a little light on it for me.
I'm going to figure it out as I explain it to you.
Okay, good. But no, the mannequin heads was kind of cool. Like when it gets like ghosty and they're back in. I mean, because they set up the location earlier in the film, and then later there's a ghost scene, and the mannequin heads are all fucking flipping around, and the mannequins are like fucking waving their arms, and it's, I mean, maybe a little basic, but it's cool. I don't know if I've seen that specifically before. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be a functional, like a fully attended college, but they just didn't have the extras or the actors or whatever. There is the part where it's like, oh, they put us in the abandoned dorm building.
Yeah.
Which looks like, you know, something out of Saw or whatever. and they're all like living like 4 in a room in this abandoned place. So that explains that, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's supposed to be a normal school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Not a lot going on to sink your teeth into. And I don't know. I'm like, I don't know who likes this kind of movie, to be honest.
Not me.
I couldn't put my finger on that.
Like exactly. even slashers that I don't like. I know how people are like, they have a soft spot in their heart for slashers, and they like to see people die in gory ways and stuff. But just this sort of like, nothing going on, jump scare, poorly defined ghost that isn't that scary.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was trying to find an explanation of what the hell happened, I found a review of this movie, I think from Taiwan, that said, like, the ending is, like, sure to have people talking. And I was like,
yeah.
Is it? Did it have people talking? I don't know.
I think I saw the same review. I think most people were pretty negative on it from what I saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
I don't know. Not for me.
Yo, sounds like we're reviewing it.
Yeah. Speaking of being negative on it, how did you feel about the movie? You know what? I'll go first.
Okay.
I didn't like this movie at all. This movie was a chore to get through. I kind of hated it. I mean, good for them for making it, but again, it's all my least favorite things. It's just walking around in the dark. And then here's the thing, like, paranormal horror, ghosts and shit, like I said, I was afraid to watch Skinamarink before. That stuff is one of the things that actually gets under my skin in a horror movie. I'm not afraid of slashers, I'm not afraid of Michael Myers, I'm not afraid of a lot of stuff, but, like, I'm afraid of demons and ghosts to some degree.
Okay.
You know, a dark song, very scary to me. It's not hard to scare me with, like, a ghost if you're using it really doing anything but just having you walk around in the dark and get like a jump scare.
Yeah.
And that's all we get. That's all we get. And it's scene after scene after scene of that. And then just no characters you can hang your hat to. An insane choice to make it so that I swear you intentionally are supposed to not keep the characters straight.
It's immoral, I would say. what they do is purely immoral and cruel.
It almost, I remember knocking the Black Coat's daughter for this.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a movie where it just really fucked around so it could have a twist ending. But even that was not as egregious as this, no. I didn't think.
No.
So screw it. Almost with prejudice, but I'm trying to be a man of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick.
Also a big screw it. I like almost grappled with whether this might be one of my least favorite movies I've watched for the show. I don't know that it's quite that low, but man, it's a mess. I don't even know what to make of the ending of the twist. I understand the basics of the twist, but then even though it leads you by the hand through flashbacks to show you exactly what happened, I still had no idea what it was trying to show me. And maybe I'm just a fucking idiot.
No.
We'll find out in the spoiler room.
You know what? I want to say this is down there for one of my least favorite movies.
It's down there for sure.
And the bar's getting lower, I feel. Because I remember Once Upon a Time, Be Afraid was like the worst movie I could remember having seen for this show.
That's pretty bad.
I would rather watch Be Afraid than this any day of the week. And this still isn't the worst movie I've watched in the last year and a half.
Wow.
Wowee.
Yeah, it did. Didn't do much for me at all. Like I said, the best I can say about it is maybe that one sequence with the mannequin heads in the cosmetology school or whatever. Was that a cosmetology school? I thought it was like a theater thing.
I read it as a cosmetology classroom at the college.
Okay. Whatever. That worked for me. There were a couple little things that worked, but mess. It's a mess. Steven.
Yeah, it's a mess. Screw it.
Screw it.
Fuck it. Damn it.
Oh, wow. Haven't said that in a while.
I hated this movie. The only nice thing I can say is after about the halfway point, it moves along at a clip because I watched it in 1.5 at that point because I just hated it so much.
After the first half, it goes fast because you'll put it on 1.5. It
goes real fast. Just close your eyes and it's over before you know it. That's horrible.
Did you close your eyes too?
No, I didn't. I was laser focused trying to figure out what the fuck was going on, but I was also like, I'm tired of watching people wander around in the dark. And I just had a sense that there was some trickery going on that we'll finally be able to explain in the spoiler room with why I felt so disconnected to much of it. But there's nothing scary in it. It doesn't look good. The performances or whatever, because I don't even know what these characters are supposed to be like. Yeah, it's terrible. It's maybe the worst movie I've seen for the show.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay, there we go.
I'd have to browse the list again, but I was furious watching this thing.
You know what? Actually, I will throw in one more positive thing I can say for it, which is that it could have been all found footage easily. And I'm almost surprised, and I guess I will commend them slightly for not just leaning on that like we've seen so many fucking movies do.
Yeah. The found footage was I don't have a problem with found footage, but the found footage wasn't good. It was it was hard to watch the found footage.
Yeah.
So I always felt like a little massage on your eyes when you got to see like the camera on a tripod for a minute.
Yeah, because it's from this fucking era where, and I mean, whatever, this is more a complaint about just a generational shift than anything, but it's all the vertical, there's a lot, or at least there's a lot, not all, but there's a lot of vertical video shot on somebody's phone with like the overlay of
the chat,
Instagram, yeah. Taiwanese, whatever the analog is for like an Instagram Live or a TikTok or something sometimes. And it's grainy as fuck. Like really grainy sometimes.
Oh, like glitching for no reason?
Yeah. It's just, it's an ugly fucking thing to watch on a television, which is like maybe the oldest like geezer comment I've ever had about anything, but there it is.
I'm sure we're probably not far off from a movie that like has two cuts, one where you watch it on your TV and then one that's all like found footage on the phone.
You're so right.
Maybe even watch them at the same time.
I just heard on a podcast yesterday,
I'm a visionary.
People are there. Somebody like quote unquote fixed Akira by making it like vertical and like adding detail to parts of it that wouldn't be a problem if you weren't watching on your fucking phone, as David Lynch would say.
Did they actually like?
It's not an official cut or anything, but this is just like a.
But
fan,
they still
a fan
presented
edit.
It as fixing Akira.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculously
it's
fucked
insane.
Up. Fixing, like, are they going to fix Citizen Kane next?
Yeah.
What are they going to fix?
They're
going to
fix Citizen Kane. It's going to be half your screen is going to be Citizen Kane. You're going to have soap cutting and marble racing on the other quarters of the screen the whole time.
And comments scrolling at the bottom.
Yeah.
Christ.
It's bleak. Well, I guess that's that. Well, guess what? We still have to go to the spoiler room and spoil everything about this movie.
I'm actually excited. Because I really think, I don't expect anyone to fully explain it for me, but I expect at least one of you to lend a little context that makes it make a little more sense to me.
We can help you. I cannot fully explain it, but I can tell you one thing that will, tie it together a little better for you.
Okay.
Luckily, it was a less than 90-minute movie.
Yes.
That was the only mercy.
God bless.
Oh, my cut was about 70 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I got to a point. I've never.
He fixed it, just I like Akira.
I've never DNF'd an Amon movie. I've never put an Amon movie on fast forward.
Finish.
Yeah. But I did check the time a couple times, and it was like 2 minutes less time remaining than would have made me do something drastic. I was like, all right, it says 28 minutes. If it said 31, though, I'd be in a real bad mood.
Yeah, so. I had a lot of time checks.
All right, well, stick around. We're going to go down to the spoiler room and spoil everything about the bridge. It might be Rashomon again. We might have three different sets of spoilers.
Ooh, that would be cool.
So we'll see. We'll attempt to spoil everything about the bridge curse and all its twists and turns. So stick around for that or go out to your local bridge and play the bridge curse home game.
Fuck around and find out. But only if it's a leap year.
Yeah, only if you're listening to this in 2028.
Yeah. And if you're not, wait until 2028 to go to the spoiler room. Yeah.
If it's 2028 and Trump hasn't outlawed going outside.
And watching films from China.
Okay, well, we'll be back in a little bit to spoil everything. Stick around. Oh, you just call it China.
Was it politically inappropriate?
Oh, you just started an international incident.
Oh, no. World War III starts here right now.
Jesus. All right. We are back in the spoiler room, getting ready to spoil everything about the bridge curse. Where do we get? So, I mean, everybody dies. Everybody's killed by ghost.
Yeah.
Well,
almost everybody. Here's what's going on in this movie, okay?
Yeah.
If I'm understanding correctly what I misunderstood while watching most of it, we are not presented with two timelines, but rather three, possibly four?
Yeah.
In this film? I think it's three.
Well, the fourth would be the story of the origin of the whole bridge curse, which I don't think we see very much of.
No, we don't see. I don't think we see any of that.
No,
we just hear the story of. Oh yeah, which we didn't explain at all before the spoiler room. But yeah, I don't think we ever see that on camera.
Oh, that was fucking horrible.
It's described in certain explainers as being a fourth timeline. But I don't think we ever see.
Yeah, footage I think from you're like correct. 1990. Because I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
So is 1990 supposedly when the
tell the two fucked up versions of the same fucked up story?
Well, hold on, because we didn't talk. I thought this was just absurd how they talk about the in the legend of the bridge curse. It's about a student came and was gonna meet her true love on the bridge at midnight, and he didn't show up, and she was in such despair she threw herself into the lake, killed herself, and became a ghost. And then, like, the second or third time they tell it, they're like, oh.
Very different. mm-hmm.
The second or third time they tell it, they're like, oh, by the way, he didn't show up. And then she left the bridge and, like, got brutally raped by, like, five dudes in the woods and then came back and killed herself.
I was like, excuse me?
I'm like, that extra detail is not necessary. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it felt completely pointless. I don't know why that was a semi-revelation at some point. It did nothing for anything.
No. So
those guys make great burgers, though.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh,
Five Guys.
Oh Jesus.
I don't condone that, Joe.
All right, continue your explainer.
I mean, that's about as far as I can go, because I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it.
So the events that we've been seeing, we perceived as happening in the year 2016, which is a leap year.
Yes.
And the big twist is that the influencer girl who we've described, who's like a live streamer, kind of seems like a semi-cool, like popular girl, was involved in a previous iteration of the bridge curse in the preceding leap year, 2012, and she made a deal with the ghost that if she survived, she would bring another five people for it to kill in 2016.
You got it.
The part that boggles me is that they show a bunch of flashbacks to 2012 that are things that we've actually already seen.
Yes.
And it's somehow related to the like very nondescript nature of these characters. So are there characters that we saw that were actually played by the same actor but supposed to be two separate characters from 2012 and 2016?
Whoa, that would be interesting. That would be interesting.
I have no idea, but we are being presented with both the 2012 and the 2016 and the 2020 timelines simultaneously, with no distinction made until like the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh my god.
That part of this happened in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, you're right. They're doing the same thing they do in The Black Coat's Daughter.
Oh,
it is double cast.
There are only eight actors in this movie.
Yeah. So it is double casting.
So they're double casting and then saying, ha ha, didn't we fool you that you assumed this guy was the same character in all his scenes?
And it would be interesting if like there were notable physical or like character personality distinctions between these people. Like if you actually created two distinct characters and had the same actor play both of them, and then all of a sudden you have like a fucking, what's his name in Men?
Rory Kinnear,
where you're all of a sudden like, oh, that was Rory Kinnear in 2012 and 2016. Oh, I actually just got a little chill up my like neck thinking about how cool this could be if you did it with
a different
any
movie.
Sort of
let's calm down
skill. If you did it with any sort of skill.
Yeah, but what they're doing is just deliberately trying to pull the wool over our eyes. For like, to what end? I don't fucking care that this happened in 2012 as well. It's enough that there's one incident that's being investigated.
Well, mm-hmm. The twist is, well, this girl's actually evil. She's an accomplice.
Well, yeah. And, well, okay.
There's got to be another way to show us that.
And that's where, like, the weird politics come in, too. Because, I mean, the gang rape is supposed to be, like, what actually happened to her, right?
No. That's the girl who originated the curse in the legend.
Oh, sorry. You're talking about the live streamer girl.
Yeah, I'm talking about the live streamer girl. Okay. There's no way to tell. And they show you flashbacks. And I guess we were supposed to spot that, like, the calendar on the wall in this scene says 2012. Even though all the actors are the same.
Is that what they were showing us in the flashbacks?
Yeah.
Like they would do it was almost a Saw thing, you know, where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. here's the thing. And it's like, And they did it so many times. It was like three or four back to back. And I was always like, what am I supposed to be noticing replay of something I already saw?
Yeah.
They're trying to show us the clues, but the clues are not, this isn't the snowman. He didn't give us all the clues. They deceived us. They played dirty. They played unfair. But yeah, so surprise. Turns out half these scenes took place with different characters in a different universe. But I mean, I guess everything probably played out pretty much the same. Live streamer girl made a deal with the devil, said, spare me, I'll do anything you want, such as bringing five people back to the fucking bridge for the curse. And then at the end of the 2016 timeline, there's one of the boys in the group makes the same deal with her. And she's like, yeah. You don't know what you're getting into. I wish I could die. I'm a demon girl forever. If you want this job, you can take it. And then the big twist.
Is it?
Is that boy, 4 years later, becomes the cameraman for our reporter. And I think he kills the reporter.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that is...
Wait, does he... I'm trying to remember now because there is a mid-credits scene where he's talking.
I didn't watch that.
There are mid-credits and post-credits.
I noped the fuck out of there as soon as I saw the first credit.
The post-credits scene especially is completely inscrutable and tells you absolutely nothing. I forget what the mid-credits scene is now.
We might have was it mid-credit? I don't know. The credits are pretty short, but there's a scene where he's talking to her and says, like, I need you to help me break the cycle.
I think that's the post, actually.
But I thought that happened before the last scene we saw before the credits.
Before,
because
the
doesn't she die at the end?
Yeah.
So that makes no fucking sense. I just shut my laptop at that point. I was done. Assignment completed.
Yeah, the kid from 2016 is now posing as a cameraman, which actually, I mean, is cool. Somehow they shoot around showing his face. I felt like I had seen his face before it was revealed that he was actually the cameraman. So, I mean, like, props for making me feel like I had seen that and being a semi-surprise in that.
And they had, that's something that you could have anticipated because they did talk about how one of the kids was like media studies major or something. So,
well,
yeah.
And there's something, like the documentarian says something about, like, don't worry, they won't see you or whatever, or they'll see you in the shot, but like from behind or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like clear that he's clear, I guess. Shot. I don't know. Looking back, it's clear that he was trying to sort of disguise his identity, but that's not going to mean anything until you get to the end.
No. So that's your movie.
Is it a movie? Are we being too generous by calling it a movie?
I don't know. I'm just
I have a question. Okay, so this came out in 2020, year of our Lord, year of the first year of the COVID pandemic. Do we think that a lot of the elements of this that are confusing may have been done deliberately under duress? Was this shot in 2020?
No idea.
Could that be a reason that they only had 8 people in the cast?
I appreciate you so much for like trying to come up with an excuse for this bullshit.
Let's bail.
All right, we're done.
Yeah, I'd love to bail these guys out somehow. The most popular review of this movie on Letterboxd says, it's honestly kind of iconic that the film relies on its characters being so forgettable and interchangeable to make the twist work. Well played.
Yep.
It's still a 2.5-star review, though, so I'm like...
Oh, wow.
What else have you seen that makes you rate this 2.5 stars?
Well, what are we watching next month?
Yeah, what are we watching next month, Patrick? And if you say the Bridge Curse Ritual, that's the end of our show.
Oh, damn it, you ruined my fucking joke. No, that's crazy. There's a fucking sequel to this and also
a video game.
A video game, yeah. And a third film on the way. This is a franchise.
It's like 13 cameras.
It is, yeah.
I wish there were a 13 cameras video game.
Well, now that you've ruined my joke, I'm going to actually throw back to your arachnophobia of earlier today. Wait, no, I just fucked that the fuck up. What's wrong with me? We're cutting that out.
Are we? Fuck me. We'll see about that.
I just confused creepy crawlies. We're going to watch Anaconda.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen Anaconda, motherfuckers.
I play it all the time in CineNurdle.
I know this is like a bubble boy thing, but I completely missed out on Anaconda in the 90s, and I want to experience it.
We got J-Lo. We got Ice
John
Cube.
Voight.
We got John Voight.
Doing a crazy accent.
America's greatest patriot, John Voight.
Wait, is this a bad idea? Are you guys like too well-versed in this?
I've never seen it.
It's been I haven't seen it since it came out on VHS.
Okay.
But I remember even back then, the CGI snake is hilariously awful.
Because I have a backup pick if you guys are like, this is a bad idea.
Anaconda feels like summer to me.
We can do Anaconda. Feels like, yeah. Why, right.
We're watching fucking Anaconda, which I mixed up with Arachnophobia.
There's probably spiders.
Turns out we're leaving that in.
There's got to be a room full of spiders in Anaconda, right?
I don't think so. No. Sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It takes place in South America.
I don't think there's any spider foo in it.
And spiders and snakes are the only two scary things.
Maybe they're going in the spider realm and they're like, it's too quiet. Why are there no spiders? Oh, God, it's a snake.
Isn't Anaconda being remade or rebooted?
I have no idea. Everything
I think it is getting a big budget revival a la Twisters.
Oh, right.
Funny.
Yeah, that's like coming out soon, or maybe is out. I think
it comes out in May. Yeah.
Christ.
Funny snake fact. Not really funny, but my friend who is a zookeeper for birds went to Guam to deliver some birds. There was almost a international incident over these birds. Not really, but he was actually like moving birds. He was moving birds because the government, they had birds, and the government of Guam was like, can you bring these back? And I'm like, all right, sure. Anyway, Guam has like an invasive python that's like eradicated a great many of the birds there. They eat the bird eggs, they kill the birds. And so you go to Guam, it's like beautiful tropical island, handful of birds because they got this snake and they're doing everything they can to catch and kill this snake.
And we're just worried about, like, fucking Phragmites and, like, trumpeter swans.
Yeah, we could have snakes everywhere. Yeah.
Damn.
We could be living in
snake not just snakes, island. But pythons.
Yeah, Snake Island.
I mean, swans are scary enough.
Anyway, Anaconda.
Anaconda.
In 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Quattro. We'll be watching Anaconda.
Catorce.
So until then, Catorce. that'll be our next. That'll be our next program note. We're only putting out episodes every Catorce week. All right. So until then, find us on social media, talk to us on Discord, and enjoy the warm weather if you're in a place where it's summer. I know. We at least have one or two fans in Australia, so it's probably getting cold.
Probably. Oh, yeah, we're telling people to go enjoy summer, and they're like, fuck you.
I can't go outside. Anyway, all right, well, until next time, for every horror movie on Netflix, I'm Chris.
I'm Patrick.
Hi, I'm Steven.
Bye-bye.